WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out, see if you have a Twitch Prime sub available. Love to get those Twitch Prime subs for Christmas. Just click that little purple button up above the screen to see if you have one, but if not, that's fine too. Just keep in mind, Twitch Prime is free, and you can link it to your Amazon Prime and get that sub. But anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Twitch Prime is only free with Amazon Prime. Once you link to your Twitch account, that's called Twitch Prime. It's free, because in general, Twitch Prime actually does cost money. But hey, you can sub for free with Twitch Prime if you've got linked to your Amazon account. That's how you do the thing. We're here, live, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Warren. Come to twitch.tv/live from wildtalkradio.com. Or rackradioshow.com to listen to the show.
So, it is 6 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's scary, so I hope everybody gets your holiday shopping done. It's also, I believe, Hanukkah?
22nd.
Is Hanukkah started?
22nd, Sunday.
22nd. Holy crap, we're only 3 days away. 2 days, essentially, from Hanukkah. Guys!
yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Okay, so real quick, because we'll get into news presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211 in a moment. I've been done the Christmas shopping for weeks. Like, that's all been done. It's getting everything else ready for Christmas. That's taken forever. Tree's finally up. Almost lit, bro. But God, it's right around the corner, which means Jingle All the Racks right around the corner, which means Ask the Racks all right around the corner, which is all next week live. Oh, God, this is... Yeah, holidays.
Yay, holidays. Woohoo! So much fun.
So excited for the holidays.
I get to finish my Christmas shopping this weekend, because, yeah.
Someone's slacking.
I'm not slacking. I just keep getting last-minute stuff sent to me, and it's like, okay, guys, there's a cutoff. We're kind of there. Can we not? I don't want to be out on Christmas Eve shopping, because I hate doing that. So, yeah. last minute thing. I hope everybody gets your last minute gifts and stocking stuffers. And for the love of God, if there's grocery ordering services that can deliver food to you and you can afford them, please do that and don't go to a grocery store because you will get mauled.
Yeah. But that reminds me. The great way to do holiday shopping is by getting Amazon. Amazon Prime will bring your items right to the door, which then you can link to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. See, I tied it all together.
Okay, but legit, Amazon is a goddamn lifesaver during the holidays.
Oh, it's been great. Amazon Prime has been tremendous. I got some toys delivered. Boom. 2 days. Boom. Easy.
He'll do, and best of all, you could get Amazon Fresh with your Prime sub, or with your Twitch Prime, not Twitch Prime, Amazon Prime, there we go, right Prime, and you believe you can get that service for free now with Amazon Prime, and so you can get your groceries delivered too, like...
I mean, the convenience of the internet.
I hate that Amazon is ruling the world and they are taking over my life slowly yet surely, but goddamn, it is so nice that I don't have to go to the grocery store.
But I tell you, when you need that one Ben 10 toy... It'll be right at your door in an instant.
I don't know what that is.
So it's a cartoon. It's for kids. It's a thing. They have watches. And it's a thing. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the news.
Yeah, let's get into the news back to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And we don't have a ton of news to get into tonight. We're also going to be talking TLC here in a minute. And then we have an epic NXT show that we have to talk about a little bit later in the show. But like I said, we don't have a ton of news. There's not really any big stories that we have to talk about. Just a couple quick notes about New Day and the Street Profits. They have all re-signed with WWE. I believe the Street Profits got a raise.
So they're getting
the same pay, which is interesting.
They all negotiated to get the same amount of money. So they got their raises and everything, but they negotiated to get the same contract. Because you can argue Kofi should get the bigger contract, he's the bigger star, but they all negotiated to get the same big deal together.
Which is nice.
But they stuck together and they went, here. They're a group. They're a package offering. So it's like, they want to get the same money. They don't want to be treated differently. So they negotiated the contracts together, they got the same pay, they're on the same scale. Well, the Street Profits signed new deals, probably went from the NXT contract to the main event, the main roster contract. That's where that goes.
So, that's good.
Yeah, it's good for them.
So, congratulations to everybody involved. And another interesting note, Killer Cross has been officially released from Impact Wrestling. There's no pronouncement on where he'll be going, if he's going anywhere, but it's just interesting. Will he follow the smoke show to NXT? We'll have to see.
He is scheduled for an appearance at MLW. I'm just seeing this now. He is scheduled to appear at MLW Fightland, so he's at least making a pit stop in MLW before he makes his next move. But he's wanted out of his Impact contract for a while, and now he's officially out.
There you are. Up next, a little Edge news, because we all need a little Adam Copeland in our lives. And it's been announced that he's going to be in a new movie called Money Plane. It's a heist thriller that's also going to star Kelsey Grammer, Thomas Jane, and Denise Richards. So good for him. Hope he has a plum part.
So that was the good news for him this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of a will he, won't he news that sort of spread on the internet today.
Yeah.
About Edge. Is he going to be in the Rumble? Oh my God, Edge has come back to the Royal Rumble. He just signed a brand new deal. He's going to be in the Royal Rumble. He's going to go to WrestleMania. He's fighting at WrestleMania. Oh my God, can you believe it? Edge is going to be at WrestleMania. He's going to fight in the Royal Rumble.
Except he's not.
I mean, he could. In a perfect world, he could have one more match.
I think he's wanting to have one more match. I believe he's been cleared to do one more match. At least one more. Because, okay, so I don't want to knock anybody, but I was there for Edge's last match.
She was.
Inadvertently. Because he didn't know it was his last match at the time, but when he fought Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania 27, that was his last match, his very last one, which they did not know how to properly deface a car, and I was very disappointed in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
FYI, you go for the glass first. It's the most expensive part, without bending the frame. Then you go for the tires, but only /3. No, if you slash all four, the insurance will pay for it. So if you /3, the insurance won't pay for it. Do not ask me how I know this.
No, I just don't.
Anyway, I'm please don't slash anybody's tires. Please don't. I know this from personal experience.
But if you do, only do three.
Yeah, but if you do, don't tell them I sent you and only do three. But try to work it out verbally before you get to that point. Don't carry Underwood it. Anyway.
Anyway, continue.
So that match, I mean, the match was good from what I remember. I haven't watched it in a really long time. Saw it once and I was good. But it, you know, like I think that next night or that next week, he ended up retiring and relinquishing the title because of his neck. And I know, not knocking Alberto Del Rio, but I know that's not the match that he wanted to have to go out on.
No, he was going to go out. He was going to retire a year from that point. That was his goal in mind. He was going to retire WrestleMania 28, go out the way he wanted to, probably wrestling Christian or someone else, and go out doing the right thing, not retaining the world title.
So because he didn't get to do that, I feel like for him, because he got retired, that he wants to have that one last match like they all do. And I think enough time has passed and he's done enough to heal himself that he can, in fact, come back for one more if he desires. If not, that's fine, too. He may be doing other projects because he's involved in other ways with WWE. They did the Edge and Christian show. He does one-off appearances. They may have him do some announcing gigs. You don't know what he's going to do. But he could feasibly come back and do the Rumble and do one more match if he wanted to beyond the Rumble. It's just, it's kind of up to him. But
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the Rumble.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a bit of a surprise. Hey, Ash, it'll be a nice surprise if he shows up. I think, honestly, the roof is going to go off that building if he shows up. And personally, I would not mind hearing Edge's theme blare over the loudspeakers one more time. That's fine, too.
He had really good music.
Oh, my God, he had great music. Like, that's the one sad thing is it's like, I'm never going to hear it again. And then he keeps showing up. So it's like, thank you. Thank you.
I mean, he set the stage of SummerSlam spearing Elias, so that opened the door and left us with a question in our rundown that we've never gotten to yet, so maybe one day.
Maybe one day we'll have to see.
And legit, it's been in our rundown for like 3 months now.
Yeah, it's a discussion topic that we have not gotten to that we're going to at some point when we have nothing to talk about, which is very rare these days. Staying on WWE, we need to talk about Roman Reigns because, well, he's going to be ringing in the new year with Steve Harvey.
Yeah, the Steve Harvey's New Year's Eve show on Fox, alongside Maria Menounos and Rob Gronkowski, who co-hosts a show with him, will feature Roman Reigns in a WWE match, according to Deadline. Doesn't say when the match is coming. Is this going to be live? Probably not. It's probably going to take the SmackDown either this week or next week. But he'll be on the show to close out the year, 2019. Other people on the show, including LL Cool J, DJ Z Trip, not to be confused with DJ Z, or whatever, the Chainsmokers, the Lumineers, Florida Georgia Line, the Backstreet Boys, Tyga, and the Killers, Gordon Ramsay, Will Arnett, and Jenna Dewan will be on the show as well. Oh, also, a live performance by the Village People. While a group of people attempt to set the world record for the largest YMCA dance. Okay.
Hey.
So that's great. Go ahead and do the largest YMCA dance. Just don't ask anyone to do a floss. Too soon? Too soon? What?
Best of luck to them. I'm sure they'll have more luck to getting the YMCA than the floss.
Because, you know, Ninja tried. He really tried. And no one did it. He tried. But they sent him out in the cold and rain. Hey, everybody, do the floss with me. And no one did it. Anyway, God, that was a year ago already. Jesus. What else is in the news?
So, in the news, last but certainly not least, somebody's coming home.
Tell the world they're coming home.
So, AEW has announced that in February 19th to be exact, they will be running Phillips Arena.
State Farm.
It's fucking Phillips Arena if you live here.
State Farm.
It's Phillips Arena.
Like a good neighbor.
No, it's Phillips. I'm sorry.
Like a good neighbor, State
Farm. It's been Phillips since it opened. Like, I don't care if they changed the name on the building. It is Phillips Arena.
So that's an interesting thing, right? So, for you know how arenas change names and, you know, we're talking Phillips and State Farm. Here we have the center, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's gone through many different banks have owned it. where the banks have changed their name. But everyone still goes back to what it was called, the first Union Center.
Phillips Arena.
The FU Center.
Well, it's Philly. I mean, you know.
You don't know what the floss is? It's a dance move. You can Google it.
Yeah, it's a dance move. Made popular by Fortnite.
And other
I think it was popular before Fortnite, but Fortnite like really
put it back on the map.
Yeah. So anyway, so tickets I believe are going on sale soon.
Very soon. Maybe this week, I think.
So yeah, if you want to go see AEW, if you live in the Atlanta area, I strongly encourage you to go. Because it is the wrestling promotion that was WCW is gone, but AEW is here now because Turner is here. TNT, TBS, all of that stuff, they are based here. So AEW is coming essentially home.
Home adjacent because their home's Jacksonville, but yeah. Come back to Turner. Adjacent,
but
yeah, they're making a big deal about it.
Yeah, so they're coming to pay homage to WCW, which I guess, I don't know, but yeah. They're going to be here, so if you want to go check it out, go to their website. Tickets should be on sale soon. I mean, it's exciting stuff. It's really exciting that they're coming here.
I mean, they sold 100,000 tickets this year. Woohoo.
I would like to add that there are pictures of Dustin and Cody all over downtown. Just saying.
Anyway.
Last time I was down there anyway, which was like a couple weeks ago. So, but yeah, so like I said, if you're in the Atlanta area, you want to go see some wrestling, go to AEW's website, check it out, and, you know, get your tickets, because you should support it. I don't know if the whole building will be open, because that's like a 20,000-seat arena, but I think at least the bowl in the lower bowl, or the floor in the bowl
will
be open.
Yeah, they're not selling as many tickets as they once did, so I wouldn't think the whole building's open.
Well, I don't know. It all depends on how much they sell, right?
I mean, that's true. Very, very true.
There could be demand for the AEWs. We don't know. But go buy your tickets.
AEWtix.com.
So, all right. Up next. I know it's called buying the naming rights, but it's... Okay. When they call it something, and it's been that since the building opened, which I think Phillips opened like 20 years ago. God, has it been that long? It's just Phillips Arena. Like, that's the thing. That's just that if you live here, that's what you know it as. Is Phillips Arena. If you say State Farm Arena, everybody looks at you like you're stupid.
State Farm what? Isn't that the good neighbor who's right there?
Actually, technically, their world headquarters is right across from where I work. But anyway.
They are like a good neighbor.
They're like a creepy neighbor. They're stalking us. But it's just, yeah. It's like anywhere you go. It's like there was a building here for a long time. People probably don't know what it is, but it was called the Omni. It was right downtown by CNN Center, and people still call that where it is and the buildings around it the Omni. It was where the Hawks played before they built. Yeah, I guess it's where they built before they built Phillips. Or did they play somewhere else before that? I don't know. It's Mercedes-Benz and Phillips and CNN Center and all that stuff is like right there together. And then Turner Field, which is still called, we all still call it Turner Field, even though it's not technically named Turner Field anymore, is down the road a ways. And then the new stadium, SunTrust, is up by me. So, which, that's changing names too, because SunTrust is no more. But we'll all still call it SunTrust, because that's what we know it as. Stupid.
You probably won't even call it that, because no one knows what SunTrust is.
Well, we call it SunTrust. It's SunTrust Stadium, but it's like, it's the Braves Stadium. We all know. It's just, it's the stadium because it's so stigmatized here. Like, everybody's so bitter about that whole thing that went down that, yeah, it's just we don't talk about the Braves Stadium. Are you going to see the Braves play? No.
So that's news presented by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. It's time to get into tables, ladders, and chairs, and oh my.
That took
place this past Sunday live on the WWE Network and pay-per-view providers worldwide.
Yeah, I know the Hawks played in the Omni. I just don't remember if there was like something in between the Omni and Phillips. I want to say that there was because I don't want to believe that Phillips Arena is that old because I don't think it is. But it could be because they tore down the Omni. Did they tear down the Omni 20 years? I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. Anyway, TLC, go.
Go. I'll go look it up as I do this. We started our week at the kickoff show with Humberto Carrillo taking on Andrade. Good matchup. With Humberto getting the win after the reverse Frankensteiner and then the moonsault. The big thing coming out of the pre-show besides this matchup was The Revival challenging basically Booker T and Stevie Ray to a fight at WrestleMania. But no, let's not actually have that as a thing. I said this on Sunday. We do not want to see Harlem Heat versus The Revival. We don't need to see it. We didn't need to see it 20 years ago. We don't see it 10 years ago. We don't need to see it now because it's Harlem Heat. Stevie Ray, it's way past his prime. Can you dig it, sucka?
I mean, I liked the Andrade match. I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining. Zelina was serving a look like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she was.
Like she really, really was. And I don't like that they're teasing breaking these two up.
No, but as we've seen on Monday, they're still back on the same page.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. But it's like, I don't tease that crap. Okay, just don't. Please don't. I like them together. They're good together. In particular, she does like really, really nice things for him that if she were to go away, I don't know if he would still do them. Okay, yeah, so they tore down the Omni in 97, and then they built Phillips. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, all right, got it. Moving on. Anyway, next.
Main show opened up before we get to the matchup. Bray Wyatt did the introductions.
He's special.
It was Firefly Funhouse TLC edition. Cool narration, man.
It was. It was very cool narration. Like, he's just a special little snowflake.
More on him in a bit.
Oh, boy.
SmackDown Tag Team Titles opened up with a ladder match. New Day, Revival. Really good.
This is so good. So, so good. And crazy. But, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less from these guys.
See, what this matchup wasn't about, it wasn't about doing major big dives off ladders. They used the ladders as weapons. Because when Big E tried to move the ladders around and him trying to actually set up a spot, it took forever and just looked really, really awkward. So it was like, it was a hard-hitting style ladder match, a throwback. Because, you know, ladder matches these days, you set up the ladder in the corner, boom, you throw them into it, boom, you jump off the 17 different ladders and all this fun stuff. While you did have ladder breaking moments, the matchup wasn't built around it. You had Kofi's big one DDT spot, which could have ended really, really badly if he slipped on the rope, mm-hmm. because it looked like he was slipping on the rope. But it was an older school style ladder match instead of high risk bumps because, let's face it, three of the men in the match aren't high flyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only one guy that can really, really pull that off, and that's Kofi. I mean, honestly, there is an art form to doing ladder matches, and it's not all about doing stupid stuff off a ladder. Granted, that adds things, and that's certainly appreciated every time it happens, but I feel like if a ladder match is nothing but stupidity, then there's no story to it. There's no anything. Like, this was an actual battle. This was a struggle because, like you said, the ladders were being used as weapons as well as tools to help build the match and continue the match versus just jumping off of them. And that's all they are. Like, they actually have a physical presence in the match, which is what they should have and not be an afterthought.
The New Day successfully retained their WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles.
What do you mean? Kind of like when I was playing 2K20?
Weapons, I guess. Hard time moving weapons around.
Oh, yeah.
Had to think for a second. Yeah. Next, Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black. Really enjoyable.
Don't know what happened to Aleister's face.
He lost part of it. Mainly his nose.
I hope he's okay.
By all accounts, he's fine.
But yeah, this was really super good, but there's a point where Aleister comes up and his face is covered in blood and you're like,
Wait,
what just happened?
This was hard hitting, to say the least. The knees Buddy Murphy threw towards the end. Whew.
Oh, yeah.
By God. He knows how to V-trigger them knees. But a black mass ended the things for Buddy Murphy with Aleister getting the win. It took a while for the crowd to get into this one.
It was a slow start to this match, and they sort of built it in the time that they had. But I've noticed that about Aleister. Is when he does bigger matches. Like, when I saw him live, it was really, really slow to start, and then he builds it up until they kind of get into that crescendo end of the match, and that's when it gets, like, really, really good, is when they change gears and they go into that final part of the match.
Especially coming off the last match where they had all ladders and violence, you had, the crowd was going to be slow in this one.
Yeah.
All right, so Aleister Black got the win. Up next, it was for the Raw Tag Team titles. It was an open challenge. Viking Raiders, the OC. And I had a double count out finish.
I'm okay with that.
Crowd wasn't.
The crowd wasn't. And I mean, I'm not usually a fan of it. I'm okay with it because of fantasy. Because we won.
We won. Woo.
But what can you do in that situation? You can't take the titles off of the Viking Raiders, or I should say you don't want to. You don't want to have the OC eat a pin. You can do a DQ finish, but that's such a crap finish. So it's like they literally battled each other until neither party could get up. That allows you time to go to another match, potentially at Rumble or at Raw.
We did the rematch on Raw, which saw the OC getting the win, not title. So they were able to beat the Raiders then. But here, it's just, hey, let's do a double count. But forget about that. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Because this is where you're going to go off on a rant. The KFC table go.
Why? Why? This is like my main problem. One of my main problems on this show. It has nothing to do with wrestling at all. Why in the hell would you put a KFC table at ringside, except that somebody can go through it, and waste perfectly good fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and KFC gravy, which is a travesty that gravy got wasted. I cried. As a Southerner, I was offended. How dare you waste gravy? That is rude. But yeah, I mean, I understand the purpose of the table. But have you ever noticed, like, how much food WWE wastes?
They waste a lot of food.
Like, cakes, cookies, now fried chicken. Like, I don't know. I was just sitting there like, man, that's not cool at all. Nobody deserves that. Nobody deserves to have the chicken get destroyed. Nobody. And get the gravy. I mean, the gravy. I know some people don't like KFC, but like KFC mashed potatoes and gravy on like a cold day. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. All about that. Popeyes is okay. Like down here, it's either KFC or it's Chick-fil-A. That's the way it is here. Like Popeyes and Bojangles never really picked up here.
You good?
F's in chat for the gravy. Moving on.
Tables, letters, chairs. Oh my. Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin.
This wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
It wasn't great.
It was a little too long.
Very long. Okay, Roman Reigns can do a certain type of match, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has a very... It's going to sound... I'm just going to take a shot at Roman, but it's not taking a shot. He has a very limited moveset offensively, because once he goes through it, there isn't really much after it. So if you have to stretch it out over 20 minutes, sometimes it's a struggle. With an opponent like Baron Corbin, who is also very offensively challenged, was a very, very selective moveset, I guess is the best way to put it. It's hard to drag out a 20-minute match, and they had the weapons with chairs and whatever, and which is why you brought Dolph Ziggler into the match, and you brought the Revival into the match, and what have you, to pop the crowd every time. You had security run out, get hit with Singapore canes repeatedly. You had all your smoke and mirrors, and it helped the match, but it was still way too long, which became the problem. You had Roman go 4-on-1 and almost win. You had a dog food can right to the face at one point, by God. But Baron Corbin got the win, surprisingly, just a little bit. So the feud will continue starting Friday on SmackDown, and you go from there. It just went on a little too long for me.
It was a little much. I'm not going to lie. I do like... Honestly, I really like the concept of Baron Corbin having backup.
That part's great.
And, you know, him basically having a quote-unquote court, like, that he can, where they do a little group, and that gives them all something to do, because Baron Corbin on his own is just meh. Baron Corbin with people is really better. He needs someone to play off of. He needs someone to sort of help him a little bit, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. He's just someone that it's like on his own. It's like he's right there. And there's something that's holding him back. And I'm not sure if it's him or if it's the fact that that's how they're writing him. But it's like at some point with Baron Corbin as a heel, I want to see them go full balls to the wall with Baron Corbin as a heel. Because I feel like they're still cutting his legs off a little bit, where they don't let him go all the way. Like the dog food stuff was really good. And that's the first time that I've seen them let him do something like that, and if you continue to let him do stuff like that, it's fine. But they have this really nasty habit of making Baron look like a fool when he really shouldn't look like a fool. You know, if you want him to be the secondary heel on SmackDown behind Bray, then he needs to get meaner. And this was a step in the right direction for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you could just push it more. Because, like, the dude on his own, he's actually really entertaining. Like, that's the thing. He's another one of those that it's, like, off when the cameras are off and it's just him. And he's being him. He's really entertaining. But when he does this character stuff, it's just something disconnects. It's kind of like Roman there for a while. Roman would do, like, Roman on his own. He was really entertaining. You know, cameras weren't on. He was doing interviews and stuff. He was fine. He was great. Personable, charming guy. Cameras turned on and it was just like, wah, wah. You know, there was just, you didn't see that same person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Roman is now starting to figure out how to do all of that.
He's more relaxed in it.
He's more relaxed. I think they've kind of backed off in the way that they're writing him. He's more comfortable in his own skin. And I think Baron's getting there with it. Like, he's definitely more relaxed than he was when he first showed up and when he was doing the authority Baron Corbin stuff. But he just needs to work. You know, he just needs to do a little bit more with it, at least in my opinion. I mean, he may think it's fine and that's fine. But to me, it's like, I think if they could find that happy spot for it, it would be perfect for him. Because it just, it's kind of working, but it's not working.
Yeah.
But either way, the cape is fire, so it doesn't matter.
Baron Corbin got the win. By the way, this is The Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As a friendly reminder, next week is Jingle All The Rack. We need your questions. Yes, all your questions for Ask The Rack. We'll answer them live on the show next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, live. Our day after Christmas special.
Send us your questions.
You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. Media at Wild Talk Radio is the email. So, with that hard reset out of the way, non-title match. The Miz versus Bray Wyatt. I'm just going to just sit back and let her talk.
Please note, it was Funhouse Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with this. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I don't know. And what I didn't like about this has everything to do with me and my expectations, if that makes sense. Because for me, I had this really stupid idea in my head that, you know, there were two Bray Wyatts, which there are. There's the Fiend, and then there's the Funhouse. And the Funhouse Bray Wyatt only existed in the Funhouse. And then the Fiend was the one that did all the fighting. Because when we saw the one time that Seth found Funhouse Bray Wyatt, he beat him up. Like, Bray didn't try to fight him. Bray tried to kind of reason with him almost, and Seth beat him up. So you announce, because everybody is sick of the red lighting, and you don't want to waste the Fiend in this particular setting, not that Miz isn't deserving of the Fiend, but it's a non-title match, so therefore, technically, if you're going to have Bray lose, it shouldn't be the Fiend. You have Funhouse Bray Wyatt taking on the Miz. I will say he hammed it up for the entrance. I was not a fan of the entrance. Didn't particularly like it, but that's, again, all of this has to do with me. And then the poor baby tried to wrestle in a goddamn sweater. I thought he was going to die. I think he thought he was going to die because he was sweating up a storm until the sweater came off. And then he's like half Fiend, half Bray Wyatt. Like, there's a middle ground there. I mean, mainly because it's really hard to hide all the tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really hard to hide them. Now, what I liked about this was I liked Bray's acting in this. I thought he was really good. Like I said, he hammed it up in the entrance. He hammed it up in the match. It was nice to see his face. Because he has such good facial expressions, and I feel like because he wears the mask when he's the Fiend, that you lose out on those, and you lose out on something, because the mask is doing all the work for his face. And it's scary, and it's creepy and everything, but it's like you miss his natural facial expressions. Because again, he's so good at it. Like, they're so exaggerated that they show up on camera really, really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he's doing something like this, where he's just doing the character, and you actually get to see Funhouse Bray Wyatt for an extended period of time and see what he's actually like and see what he can do. And it's interesting how he's playing it, because this version of Bray Wyatt doesn't really know how to fight.
He knows how to take a beating.
He knows how to take a beating, but he doesn't really know how to fight. And he needed just a little encouragement from his dad. And so the Fiend showed up on the Tron.
After he beat The Miz.
After he beat The Miz. to encourage him to get his hammer and try to murder The Miz, which he did. He went and got his giant hammer and tried to murder The Miz with it. But yeah, he hit two moves in this entire match. I don't think it was the greatest thing I've ever seen, but the acting was really good in this. Miz was very, very good in this. He did his part perfectly. Because in the end, ladies and germs, this was all a giant setup. A setup by who? Well, Daniel Bryan and The Miz decided they were going to play nice with each other. They were going to work together. And by God, The Miz was going to lure Bray Wyatt out of his hidey hole so Daniel Bryan could get his hands on him. Not The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. And on Sunday night, a dragon roared and Daniel Bryan returned as the American Dragon, where he attacked and beat up Bray Wyatt and was going to kill him with his hammer, except Bray Wyatt disappeared under the ring, I think. So I liked how they had Bryan come back. I liked a lot of this, but I don't know if I can deal with the entrance. I just don't know if I can deal with this. I'm sorry. Like, he came out to the funhouse music and it was all bright and happy and cheerful, and it's like, no, I like the creepy one better, you know. But it worked. Like, it all worked. It was all fine. It's just, for me personally, I was like, it has a sad now. But what did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was great character development. I thought he played his part well. I enjoyed the entrance. It was a little over the top, but that's what it is. I loved him, like, yay, cheers for me, yay, I hold on my tail, yay. The crowd was a little down on Miz on offense, but every time Bray did something, they were into it, so you knew who was over in this matchup.
Oh my God, he was so over.
But Daniel Bryan's hair, it's gone.
They poof. Cleaned him up.
He's back to where he was when he started in WWE. No beard, no long beard, no long hair. He's clean shaved. He's cleaned up.
Okay, this is me. This is really seriously me, but did anybody else think that it looked like Daniel Bryan lost like 15 pounds?
Well, he did. It was all hair.
By the way, but it's like he took his hoodie off, and it's like, was he always that skinny in the face, or was that just he's lost weight? Because he did. He looks like he dropped about 15 pounds.
Probably has over the years.
No, I mean, from when he disappeared 2 weeks ago to Sunday night. Like, he looked like he lost like 15 pounds in his face, and all of it was hair, because you couldn't see his face. He also happens to look like an Orange Cassidy, which is interesting.
It is, but he wrestles better than Orange Cassidy, because Orange Cassidy is just a joke. But everyone loves it. So there's that. Wonder who planted the doll in Monroe's crib? It was the Fiend, of course. So yeah, that was
the puppets brought the doll to Monroe as a present. It was a Christmas present.
Christmas present. Happy holidays. So that was that match. Up next, tables match: Lashley and Rusev. It was fine.
It was there. Lashley won.
Lashley won. They use a guardrail for a spot, then, just because you can't do multiple table spots. Lashley won. Rusev's still over. It's Rusev Day. I don't have my.
I love Rusev. I just wish this feud would just.
Can't end yet till there's a wedding. Wedding's on the 30th or whatever the date is. Yeah.
Give me my wrestling wedding so this will be over.
30th. The wedding is on the 30th. So there you go.
I don't think it's Renee Young. No, I don't think she's involved at all. I think she's just simply doing her job, and that's it.
Yeah. The Street Profits backstage, they were talking. Then a brawl broke out with Roman, Corbin, Big E, Ziggler, and more. But this leads us to our main event, the women's tag team titles. Tables, ladders, and chairs. Kabuki Warriors taking on Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Thoughts?
This was really, really super good. We're going to get into what happened in this match. But overall, the match itself was really, really good. There was a lot of stupidity that happened in this match, but it was balanced by a lot of really good storytelling. There's just one big flaw in this match that happened, and it's really unfortunate that happened, and that's that Kairi Sane got hurt in this match. At some point, nobody knows where. I think a couple people have gotten close to, like, kind of pinpointing it, but nobody knows for sure.
Don't blame Charlotte. She didn't know anything. You wouldn't know the same thing either.
I think they were, because there's a point where you can actually see them actively protecting Kairi. in the match to make sure that she's okay.
Becky tried her damnedest. She was trying to push her into the ring at one point.
Yeah, Becky was trying to, like, get her out of the match so that way she was okay, but Kari kept getting back in the fray. Like, Asuka was trying to, you know, look after her. I think Charlotte did try to look after her as well. Like, they were actively trying to get Kari out of the match, but she just kept going. Not to say that that's anybody's fault, but yeah, it was just really unfortunate that she kind of got knocked in the head and got, I think, knocked out on her feet.
Yeah, she may have had a concussion. No one knows. She was cleared on Monday. She's out of the ring for right now for cautionary reasons because they take head injuries very, very seriously. It was unfortunate it happened, but they went through with the match as planned. So people are talking about, well, Charlotte should have known. She should never put her through the table. You don't know. If someone says they're fine, you go. They went over the spots. They went through the spots as planned. That's what
they
do.
I'd like to point out that by all accounts, Taker never should have continued on with Brock because he was concussed. Goldberg should have never continued with Taker because Goldberg was concussed. It's kind of the same thing that if there's an insistence that they keep going in the ring, they're going to keep going because that's what they do. And that's a lame ass excuse, but that's what's programmed into wrestlers essentially, that if you can walk, you can work. And that's how some folks view it.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe Kari Sane is probably one of those people that it's like, you know what? I'm walking. I'm okay. So I'm going to keep going and I'll worry about it later. Like, it's the main event of the show. It's a TLC match. They've been practicing it probably for weeks.
Okay, they practiced it the night before. They went through their spots.
But I'm sure they've been working on it together.
Maybe. But they've been working together in general, so they know how to work each other, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the point is they were prepared.
Yeah.
That is the point. They were prepared for this, and I think Kari was still trying to just actively be involved. So please don't blame Charlotte. I don't believe, honestly, it's Charlotte's fault. They were trying to get Kari out of the match, and she would not get out of the match. That doesn't put any blame on Kari. I'm not blaming Kari. I'm just saying they were trying to get her out. They were trying to protect her as much as they could and still continue the match. But the only other option to protect Kari at that point would be to completely stop the match.
And then you go, well, Asuka can't beat both Becky and Charlotte in a handicap match. That would make no realistic sense. So you were in a lose-lose situation no matter what you did. So they continued on, and that's what happened.
Chad, I don't know if Bo needs to join Bray's family.
No, Bray took the gimmick.
Yeah, Bray essentially stole his brother's gimmick, but I still really want a feud between Bo and Bray. Like, I really want those two to have a proper feud, the proper match, and they teased me with it a year ago, and I did not get it, and I'm very upset. And I swear to God, the reason is because their mother would just, like, lose her stuff if they ever fought each other on TV. Legit. Because they would probably try to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. I would definitely love to see Bo and Bray do a thing, but I don't know if we'll ever get that just because of positions. But yeah. And then, in the end, Asuka and Kari retain. After this really long, because it was a long match. It was the perfect length for this. I think it went about 15, 20 minutes.
Something like that.
Here's where I kind of have a problem with this. Is you have Asuka and Kari defending the titles, the tag titles, which rarely get defended on TV.
26 minutes, by the way.
26 minutes. So for 26 minutes, they defend the tag titles. Kari gets knocked out on her feet. And then, you know, Asuka and Kari are standing tall in the ring. They're celebrating. This should be a moment about them. I understand it's not the feel-good moment to send the crowd home happy, but this should be about them and the fact that they have defended their titles against the Raw Women's Champion and a 10-time Women's Champion in WWE. That Becky and Charlotte are the cream of the crop. They are the top tier in the women's division, and you had Asuka and Kari put them down in a relatively dominant fashion. Like, Asuka and Kari didn't win by the skin of their teeth. They beat the crap out of Charlotte and Becky. Like, there was one point where we got a little kinky, and Becky got tied to a ladder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Charlotte got tied to a chair with a kendo stick.
Kind of.
Like, they couldn't quite get the kendo stick to hold her down. But, yeah. I mean, and then you had them, like, jumping off ladders, using ladders as weapons, using chairs, using kendo sticks. There's one point where Kari's under the ring, Becky's got hold of her, And I screamed at my television, quick, grab Bray Wyatt. I think he's still there. I mean, I was waiting for him to grab him by the foot, drag him out, and throw him at Becky Lynch. It's reasonable.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, this was a really, really, really good match. And instead of highlighting Asuka and Kari, we cut to this brawl that's been going on for 26 minutes, by the way, that spills out. It's the entire locker room. It's Roman and Baron. They're still fighting. And you end the show with Roman and Baron, and Roman rips, in quotations, the guardrail off the stadium, which I believe is an OSHA violation, beats Baron up with it, and then I think Baron went through a table?
No, so what happened is Roman was up on the, the next level seating, whatever, and did a running spear and dove right on, and everyone fell on everyone. Big ol'.
That's right. That's right.
Falling gimmick.
I just remember everybody being down at the end.
Yeah, everyone falling down.
And that's how you close the show. Mm-hmm. And I get you wanted to send the crowd out happy. I get you wanted to do a big thing, but I feel like you could have done that off TV and it would have been fine. Just because it's like the spotlight, the main event was for the women, and it's really kind of, to me, crappy that you took that spotlight away from them and put it on Baron and Roman.
Mentioned this on Sunday was, hey, Becky lost. Let's not make sure we just see Becky losing. Here's Roman Reigns.
But based on what they did on Raw, they needed to show that Becky lost.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to show it. That they had Becky Lynch basically say that management's protecting her. That, you know, it's like she can't beat Asuka. And she needs to fix that. Like, she openly admitted that. And so it's like, you really should have had Asuka standing tall with Becky looking on. Because Asuka's the next challenger for Becky. And Becky needs to be nervous. She needs to see this. You need to see her being nervous. Because it's like, Asuka is a legitimate threat. Not to say that anybody else hasn't been, but Asuka was the most dominant champion NXT has ever seen. Shayna Baszler is a really close second to Asuka, but Asuka never lost that title. She gave it up.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Asuka was never pinned for the women's championship in NXT. She's one of two, because Paige gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
To come up with that title to the main roster and have to relinquish it. Only two women have done it. Paige and Asuka, that's it. What does that tell you about Asuka? Becky was never even women's champion in NXT. And granted, she's the man. She's been Raw women's champion for, 8 months, 9 months, something like that now. And she's been doing an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, in terms of just legitimate threat, Asuka's right there. And if they decide to get serious with Asuka, Becky's done. Because Asuka can take her. We all know Asuka can take her.
Oh, yeah.
So to do that storytelling would have been really cool to see. Because honestly, I understand that you're trying to get Baron and Roman over. Like, I get that and I respect it. But at the same time, it's like, I could give two craps about that right now. Because Asuka and Kari Sane just had a fantastic match with Becky and Charlotte. And they beat Becky and Charlotte. And again, dominant fashion. And that should have been what you closed with, in my opinion. Like, I feel like the Roman Baron stuff added almost nothing to the end.
It really didn't.
Because my other problem with this is, this fight has been going on for 26 minutes. You mean to tell me that the management in WWE is so poor that they're just going to let a fist fight go on backstage, no security, no nothing, no self-management anywhere. They're going to let this crap go on for 26 minutes and it's fine. And spill out at the end. Like, that's a little bit unrealistic to me. That you're going to let a fight go on that long. Also, who can fight for 26 minutes straight?
Wrestlers, they do it every week.
But do they?
They do.
Because they kind of have rests in between.
Who said there weren't rest holds in this one?
We don't know.
You don't know?
But to me, it's just a little unfeasible that they went for 26 minutes straight. Nobody tried to stop it. Nobody tried to do anything. They just let them go. And also that it wasn't finished in 26 minutes. Because realistically, if this was a real fight, somebody would have knocked somebody else out well before 26 minutes. Well before.
Well, yeah, but
Baron's a goddamn, I think, golden glove.
Something like that.
Like, he can legit fight. Not saying, you know, Roman can as well, but I would be interested to see who could take who in a real fight. Because I'm pretty sure Baron could win. That's the thing. So it's like the fact that this went on that long and nobody stopped it and nobody knocked anybody out and it just, they did what they did. It's a little ridiculous. Like, it was the point that in the commentary, they had Jerry Lawler being like, oh, LOL, it's still going on. Also, can we not have Jerry Lawler say on national, on basically on pay-per-view, that he can't tell Kairi Sane and Asuka apart? Can we not do that? That's just a touch racist. Just a smidge. So, like, for the love of God, Asuka has multicolored hair. and Kairi has essentially black hair. Like, that alone should, you know, be able to be like, okay, so Asuka has the multicolored hair. Kairi has the more natural hair. I mean, are you able to tell the difference now? But the fact that Jerry's just like, yeah, I can't tell the difference between the two. Come on, dude. Come on. That's poor comments made. Like, I'm sorry. It's just racist. I don't like to call people out as racist. I don't like to do that. But in this instance, I kind of feel like I have to. And I'm not the only one calling that, because it's just like, that's a stupid ass comment to make. Do better. Just please do better.
8-Ball went 3-4, I went 4-3, and you went 5-2.
Woohoo! I won.
Good break?
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to do Tweet of the Week, and we are talking about NXT. You don't want to miss it, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Santa got the bacon to town. Santa making Murray, telling me he can take the freeway down. Run, Rudolph, for feeling like you're married around.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my social media alerted me of 12 straight days of great weather in Florida and 11 drunk I am from Tyler, 10 pornos downloading, 9 emails of Venus sucking, 8 cheating wives, 7 tweets I'll never read, 6 false stories, 5 RKOs, 4 frantic complaining, 3 Bible thumpers preaching, 2 tweets are tweeting, and a scene hungry turning. Never.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's The Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C, K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
It's that time once again to spread some holiday cheer and jingle all the rack.
Ho, ho, ho!
Our Christmas special is closing in, and we are looking for questions from all of you for our favorite Ask the Rack.
Have you been naughty or nice?
Whatever you want to ask us, feel free to do so. Whether it's holiday-related, wrestling-related, or even if you want to take a shot or two at Cane Kittens.
This year, you're getting a lump of coal.
Wait. No. That's just our job. You ask it, we answer it, which is why it's Ask the Rack. You can submit your questions via Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lins Ward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D, or at Rack Radio Show. Or you can email them to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. Join us for Jingle All the Rack this Christmas right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you have a Twitch Prime sub available, well, just click the purple button up at the top, and you're welcome to use it here, or you can use it anywhere else that you like. We don't want to force you, but we would love if you... you know, used it here. That'd be awesome. So anyway, if you're just joining us, you missed our TLC review in the news, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, get to the bottom. So, in honor of the KFC,
oh God,
Renee Young, I kind of want to sit ringside with KFC. How do I apply for the gig? Eric responds, turns out it can be kind of a dangerous seat. Kayla Braxton, dear people making out on the airport shuttle, APM stands for Automated People Mover, not Automated People Maker. Sincerely, a girl who is single AF. Respect. Courage JD! My girlfriend started taking salsa classes this year and posted about it. One of my viewers replied and said, you know she takes salsa alone because the only salsa Jack likes is the one he can eat.
I mean, not a lie.
Not a lie? Mrs. Dr. Lupa replies, I'll salsa with Maddie. It's been a long time since I've ballroom danced. Courage goes, she'd absolutely love that, I'm sure. Dr. Lupo responds and goes, Jack, we should dance together too. Courage goes, name a time and a place, and I'm there. Just bang. Just all four of you. Just do it, please. Get it over with. DiGiorno, if we gave the keys to someone to tweet for us for the day, who would you nominate? Dr. Lupo, let me drive this pizza mobile. DiGiorno goes, Dr. DiGiorno for the day? Thinking
emoji.
Thinking. And finally, Trevor May.
Go Twins!
So, Cloaksy, what do I do now? And he tweets a picture of a banana and cold brew coffee.
Because one time Cloak had bananas in his coffee, so he's now Mr. Banana Coffee.
And Cloak's only response is dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm. Like, damn it.
He will never, ever, ever live that down. That's all I have.
While I hate generic advice. Corey Graves, I prefer to give very specific bad advice. Dr. Psycho 620. 610. Jaws, are you looking at my pretty monitor or are you looking at Dr. Lupo? Me, I'm looking at Ben. Jaws, fine, he's pretty too. Lupo had replied with the heart emoji. Seth Rollins, I hate football. Third quarter, don't matter, game over, season over. Peace. Drew Gulak, tonight at WWE honors home care and reliable furniture by presenting WWE TLC in the name of tables, which provide us a place to learn and eat. Ladders, which elevate us to our roofs and out of reach kitchen supplies. And chairs, which gives our backs rest in times of need. Oh, Drew. Then we have Bray Wyatt. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Daniel Bryan, no one likes a bully. I was so excited to see you. P.S. The Miz is tough. P.P.S. He's coming for you all. P.P.P.S. Bray look Jack. Pass it on.
Okay, I have a legitimate question. I have to ask this question. I held it in during TLC, mainly because I forgot, but that reminded me. So, is Bray wrestling with Spanx on as the Fiend? I'm genuinely asking this question. Like, I legit want to know, because when he's in the Fiend garb, he looks skinnier than when he wasn't. Because, no offense to Baby, he's been eating. He's been eating well. Mm-hmm. I think he's been traveling with his road wife, and so they've been going places. He's put on a little weight, and that's fine. But I swear to God, when he does the Fiend stuff, he's a little bit skinnier.
He might be.
I swear he's wrestling with Spanx on. Or whatever the male equivalent of that garment is. Manx? Would it be Manx?
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what the male version of Spanx is. What if there is a male version of Spanx?
They're probably just Spanx.
But, you know, I just feel like that's what's going on there. Which, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have the... They're very useful.
So WWE on Fox tweeted out the picture of Daniel Bryan when he debuted till now. So decade look has pretty much stayed the same now, year to year. Renee Young, how does he not age? At Bell Twins, tell us the secrets. I guess eating vegan and never consuming alcohol does have its perks, LOL, shrug. Hashtag felon of youth. Renee Young, damn, I gotta rethink my choices. Upside down smiley face. Corey Graves, Renee, people don't think you're old because you look old. They think it because you knit.
Okay, when she makes you a bomb-ass sweater, you're gonna regret saying that.
It's all, Renee, it's all fun and games until I make you your hat. I'm a fibers artist, damn it. Close enough to your comment. Caleb Braxton, ordered food at the airport. I was texting my friends about my New Year's Eve plans when he set my food in front of me. I thanked him, but I continued texting before digging into my food when he said, oh, I guess you don't like your food hot then. I commend you, sir. Call my millennial BS out. Hold on. Nate Hill, feel like ass balls. Need the day off. Please send movie recommendations. Pokemane. What is ass balls?
Valid question.
It is. Dr. Lupo, hope you all have good poops tonight.
Thanks, Dad.
Caleb Braxton, well, tomorrow could be awkward. Lana will be joining me on the bump to talk about what's going on between Sheen and Fight Bobby over the last few months. Don't miss it. Austin Creed, Xavier Woods, going to have a party and we'll drink every time she says sex. We should all be passed out within the first few minutes. Kayla, I'm in. Creed, yo, I'll silently Skype in. Put me in the corner and I'll be the drink counter. Yeah, that's a thing. Mongrel, is 144 hertz worth it? Feels like it's just a big scam. I play fine on 60 hertz. Dr. Lupo, just play on VR like me. And finally, Bacaray gets into car. Mom, do you want the seat warmer on? No, my farts warm my butt. Question marks, please help me. I mean, true.
Very true.
True story. That's all the tweets.
All right, let's talk all about last night's episode of NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Finn Cole Bay Bago.
Okay, well, and this was like a mini takeover. I am completely grateful for it. Thank you so much, Hunter. I'm pretty sure the internet is pregnant after this. This was so goddamn good, which we all knew it would be. Like, there was no question in anybody's mind that this was going to be bad. Like, it's Finn Balor and Adam Cole. I mean, Jesus. Just Jesus. Thank you for giving this to us for free. Free. They did not put this on pay-per-view. They put this on regular television. Thank you very much for that. It was appreciated. I loved everything about this match. I also loved what happened after the match, since he's not going to chime in, which is that, well, Adam Cole defeats Finn Balor, so the king puts down the prince. I don't know. But then, ladies and gentlemen, out.
It's Boots the Asses time.
Thanks for Matt with the gifted subs and all that fun stuff. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
So, no, it wasn't after the match. It was at the ending. This is how Finn lost. As Finn was in control, he hit the coup de grace. And then, walking slowly into the arena, is a face he hasn't seen in months. One Johnny Gargano. Which allowed Adam Cole to hit a low blow behind the referee's back and then hit the last call and get the win. He quickly then bailed so Johnny could whack the crap out of Finn with a chair.
And Finn, you know, was like, hey man, hey, I didn't mean it. And Johnny was like, nope.
Stoic and all, he just beat the crap out of him.
I'm all about this. I'm all for this. I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant from it. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Very, very good stuff. If you missed it, go back and watch it, because this was legit.
Really, really good.
Fantastic.
Killian Dane, Damian Priest.
This was good. This was solid. I like how they tied it back to Killian damaging Damian's ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of telling that story in the ring, and can Damian overcome with the injured ribs?
It was a good win. He did overcome. He was able to hit the Reckoning and get the win over Killian Dane. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Very entertaining stuff.
We learned that starting in the new year, it is the return of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Woohoo!
We'll get some announcements on the New Year's Day edition of NXT.
There you go.
Cameron Grimes and Kushida had a match.
Over a
hat. And other things, but mainly over a hat, which Cameron Grimes got the win. Enjoyable. All these matches got about 15 minutes roughly each, and they've all so far really good. Good wrestling overall.
Yeah, I was going to say, they paced and timed the show out really, really well. Everybody got about an equal amount of attention, with the exception of the two main title matches on the show. They obviously got longer, and they anchored the beginning and the end of the show, but everything else in between, nothing felt rushed, nothing felt out of place. It all was really nicely done from top to bottom. And again, in terms of Kushida, he looked adorable as crap in Cameron's hat. Like, he really did. Like, okay, that works for him. I mean, I'm just saying, it totally works for him.
So there you go on that one. Io Shirai beat Santana Garrett. Solid little match.
Very solid. Very good. Nice showing for both ladies.
Mm-hmm. Good to see they're using Santana a little bit more on television. Hopefully she'll get some wins over credible people here coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a preview, I guess, of NXT UK versus NXT US as UK talent Travis Banks took on Pete Dunne, who was formerly of NXT UK, now of NXT US. Really good match.
The second Travis Banks walked out, it's like, oh, hell. This is going to be good. This is going to be super good. And sure enough, it was.
Peter got the win.
Go, Pete!
Dakota Kai was backstage, and, you know, she has stables in her head, but in the end, she was able to beat her, and she'll continue to beat every woman in the division until she's the next NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But then it was your main event. Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley, for the NXT Women's Championship.
This was so good and so well done, because there's a point in the match where you really start to question if Rhea's going to win or not. Because we were sitting here and it was almost at the end where Shayna's got Rhea in her sleeper hold. And we're sitting here and it's like Rhea keeps grabbing and getting up and moving around and breaking the hold slightly, getting a little gasp of air so she can keep going. And it's sitting here and you're watching and you're like, wait, are they actually going to do what I think they're going to do? Is Shayna really actually going to lose the title? Because that's the thing, like, there for the longest time, it was always like, oh, it's time. They're going to take the title off Shayna. It's time. And she never lost. She never lost. Like, for one reason or another, she would pull out a win. And with Rhea, they kept, like, indicating she might actually win. And when they called out Shayna's title reign, And the length of Shayna's title reign is like, oh my god, she's going to lose. Oh my god. And lose she did.
She did. They got up on the top rope, and I was like, they were headed to the corner. I was like, she's going to hit the riptide. She's going to hit the riptide from the top rope. And by god, she hit the riptide from the top rope, drove Shayna down just like she did at War Games, and got the 1, 2, 3 to become the new NXT Women's Champion, ending the 400-and-something day title reign of Shayna Baszler. Really good match.
Absolutely fantastic showing for the women. Super great. Loved everything about this. Rhea looked like a boss. Shayna looked like a boss. I mean, just, this was beyond strong. Mm-hmm. This was a great showcase for both of them. The crowd was beyond into it. They were behind Rhea the whole way.
Oh, they wanted her to win.
Everybody wanted her to win. Like, everybody was here for this. It's like, and like I said, it's like, you know, you kind of go in and you have your doubts and you have to wonder, but there's a point watching this match where you're like, oh my god, they're going to do it. I think they're actually going to do it this go round. I think this is it. And you're just waiting to be disappointed. And when they don't disappoint you, you're like,
okay then.
Okay.
Here we are.
I'm good with this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm on board with this. I'm on board with all of it. Now, in all likelihood, they're setting Shayna up to go face Becky at some point. Probably. I think they're just getting her ready in case they need her as a backup. Or they could just use her in general, which that would be fine. And also, I think it's time to give Shayna a little bit of a rest as champion. She was champion for, what, 400-something days?
Plus whatever she was in the first reign.
Yeah. I think total, Triple H tweeted it out, and it was like 600 days.
Something absurd like that.
Yeah, between both reigns. So, girl's been holding it down for almost 2 years.
As every time we picked her to lose, she kept
she
winning
won.
And winning and winning and winning and winning and winning.
She needs a vacation. But yeah, this was a very, very well done show. I liked everything about the show. I don't think I have any complaints.
No complaints. And wasn't on a holiday week. But that'll do it for us.
But there was other things going on. If you want to point to that.
Beam. Anyway, that's our show.
That's our show. I will say I like how NXT is creating their own little mini events every month to build to because they don't have pay-per-views every month.
Every month
they do them once a quarter.
Every month is 6 weeks.
So they're coming up with ways to build to something and then making certain shows more important than other shows so that way they can kind of almost get into that cycle of doing monthly pay-per-views, because I think there's going to be a point where they get there with it.
I think they're not going to be on a monthly schedule, but they're going to be taking the Sunday schedule. They're going to be taking part in the Sunday schedule.
Yeah, so they're getting their talent, they're getting their audience used to and ready for that eventual transition, which I think is going to start at WrestleMania. So I like that they're doing this. It's really, really good. But that does it for us. What do you think?
It is. Coming up next is Fortnite with Friends. We're going to play a little Fortnite tonight. Programming note. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. We'll do our Christmas show then. The working plan right now is not to be live for Fortnite with Friends on Saturday. Sorry. Sorry. But we're going to have everyone go tell you what you're doing at a different time. We'll be streaming something. Something will be on the channel so you can watch it. But it won't be us. We'll just leave it at that. But Saturday night, midnight, at CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatTheBad.com. If there's something for them to talk about, Wrestle Talk Radio will be on the air Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, the Bray Wyatt Holidays with the Firefly Funhouse, Holidays with the Ramblin' Rabbit review available now.
You got that? You okay?
That's a mouthful. I was trying to think of the name of it.
It's just Holidays with Ramblin' Rabbit. That's all it is.
Yeah, but there was more of a name to it. Anyway, that review is now available. It's on YouTube, youtube.com/rackradioshow. So there's that. We're on Spotify, The Rack Radio Show, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you are into Fortnite. If you like to play games in the Epic Game Store, use creator code ROCKETSTOCK in the Fortnite in their item shops, whether it's in the Fortnite or in the Epic Game Store. Epic Game Store is doing some deals on games right now. Use creator code ROCKETSTOCK in there so you can get some games. They're giving away free games as well, so go do all that. As a reminder, that was a hashtag ad. I'm a hashtag Epic partner.
Woo!
All right, I'm done.
You're done? You're good? All right. Yeah. You can follow me on most of the social medias, and you can follow me on Twitch at Linsward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D, and twitch.tv/Linsward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D. I do stream on occasion. I'm going to try to get back into streaming more on Saturdays, but just schedules and travel and everything like that, I've gotten out of the habit. So, going to try to get back into the habit now that I'm in town more on the regular. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilms.com/mbg1211. And everybody sit tight, go get you a drink, go get you a snack, because we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to be playing Fortnite with friends with the squad. You don't want to miss it. So I'm Lindsay Ward, he's Rock, you've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.